Today's scripture will be 1 Kings 19, verses 9 through 13. There he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?"
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end.
Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the few. As he has the past, thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice, he rules. Them while he dwelt below. In you I rest, in you I found my hope, in you I trust. You never let me go. I place my life within your hands alone. Be still. My soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointments, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow for God, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. In you I rest, in you I found my hope, in you I trust. You'll never let me go, I place my still, my soul. In you I rest. In you I found my hope. In you I trust. You never let me go. I place my life within your hands alone. Be still, my soul. Still my soul. Be still my soul.
Can you think of a time in your life when you just knew that God was speaking to you? Time in your life when you just knew that God was speaking to you. Well, you know, I wonder, how did God speak? And how did you decide that it was His voice and not some other voice? Another good question to ask might be, what did you do about what you heard? And maybe most of all, how has God continued to speak to deepen your relationship with Him and to form you in the image of Jesus? I don't know if it'll shock or relieve you to learn that I don't really think of myself as the kind of guy who gets a whole lot of direct messages from God. Now, that's changing in some ways that I'll describe in a little bit, but one of the few times that I felt like I did receive a direct word from the Lord came when I was a freshman in college. I didn't hear an audible voice or anything like that, but I was certain that God was telling me to be a summer missionary through the Baptist Student Union. And although that seemed a little bit unlikely because I really couldn't afford to go away and volunteer for a summer, God seemed to confirm that message by providing me an opportunity to get a great job selling books door to door. Well, now, some of you have heard that story, and you know that it turned out to be one of the worst summers of my young life. By the time it was over, I was cold, broke, starving, and a miserable failure. And yet, in what was one of my lowest moments, God's love and grace surrounded me in one of the most powerful ways that I've ever experienced. And even though it took a little while to recover from being a book salesman, both emotionally and financially, I did get to be a summer missionary the next summer. And ever since, I've been convinced that God speaks. And I hope that I'm continuing to learn how to hear Him more clearly. If you were here last Sunday, then you already know that we're taking a few weeks to talk about hearing God. And like we said last week, I think most of us want to hear from God. And for the most part, I think we trust that He's got something to say. It's just that the details of how that's supposed to happen can feel a little bit confusing at times. We hear some folks talk about all the messages they're getting from God, and we can't understand why our experience doesn't feel quite the same. Or maybe we think that we've heard a message from God, but we worry that we might be hearing it wrong, or we wonder how we're supposed to make it fit with all of our circumstances and with the advice of others and with the teaching of the Bible. And then, of course, it doesn't always help that the Bible itself is filled with all these dramatic stories about people hearing from God. There are dreams and visions and messages that come with such clarity that the recipients seem to know exactly where to go and what to do and who to talk to along the way. And so we find ourselves wondering, does God still speak like that? Well, of course, He is God, so let's assume that He can speak any way that He wants to. But let's also consider this. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son. The ultimate way that God speaks is through Jesus. And Jesus knew, of course, that He wasn't going to be with us in a bodily form forever, and so He gave us a promise. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. We might wish that God would speak to us in one of those dramatic and over-the-top ways, but the Bible suggests that the best way for God to speak to us, the way that's most in keeping with his character and his purpose, isn't to overwhelm us from the outside, but to whisper to us on the inside. And so it probably shouldn't be a surprise that when God wanted to encourage and challenge a weary prophet named Elijah, a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, there came a gentle whisper. A still small voice, or as some translations put it, a sound of sheer silence. So what are some of the ways that God whispers to us today? And can we learn how to pay attention so that we can hear God speak even when he uses a whisper by any other name? My goal this morning is to give us an overview of some of the ways that God whispers to us. And yet, before we dive into that, I think it might be helpful to offer a little recap of what we said last Sunday, because none of the things that we're going to talk about today make a whole lot of sense unless first we believe that God speaks. We read about people hearing God in the Bible, and sometimes it's tempting to assume that it could never happen to us, but let's remember that we're just as messed up as they were. And what's more, if we think about who God is as he reveals himself in Jesus, doesn't it just make sense that he wouldn't bowl us over with messages that are so overwhelming they leave us trembling in fear, but that instead he'd speak to us in a way that fosters intimacy and that builds trust, so that it can deepen the relationship that's at the heart of the reason that he speaks to us in the first place. Now, in addition, the whispers of God will never mean much to us unless we're ready to listen. Of course, as we noted last week, listening isn't always easy. Sometimes we get distracted or we get so focused on ourselves that we can't hear. And sometimes we get so busy filling up the silence with the sound of our own voice that we can't hear God speak, even when he is speaking to us. But thankfully, of course, listening is a skill at which we can get better. And it's the promise of God that you will seek me and you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. Finally, we're not likely to grow in our ability to hear God's whispers unless we're also growing in our willingness to obey and to respond to what he says. After all, if you were to give me a call and leave a message for me to ask me a question or to offer me some advice, but I never returned your calls and I never acted on what you said, chances are that at some point you're going to stop calling. And while I believe that God is patient and persistent and that he never gives up on us, make no mistake, it is his intention to make us doers of the word and not just hearers only. And maybe that's why Jesus said that everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And his wisdom will be given to those who intend to use it. So having said all of that, what are some of the ways that God whispers to us, even if that means labeling those whispers by any other name? And the most important thing I think we need to stress in that regard is that God whispers to us through Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed, the Bible says, and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And as a result, because we live in a world that's constantly sending us mixed messages about who we are and why we're here and how we're supposed to live, it becomes absolutely essential for us to hear how God is whispering to us through His Word so that we won't get conformed to the messages of the world, but can instead be transformed by the renewing of our minds. In the Baptist Faith and Message, which is kind of the Apostles' Creed of the Baptist Church, we're told that the Holy Bible has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. And part of what that means is that any message that genuinely comes from God will be consistent with the message of the Bible. If you think that God is whispering to you to bear false witness or to hate your enemies or to commit adultery or to hold a grudge, guess what? He's not. Because God's whispers, no matter how they come to us, will never contradict the principles of the Bible. And so we need to immerse ourselves in the Bible, not only because God will speak to us directly through it, but also because it needs to be the standard by which any other messages that we think we're hearing from God ultimately get judged. Of course, now that being the case, Scripture still presents us with a few challenges. For example, how can God whisper to us through the Scripture if we're not reading the Scripture? I mean, look, I know we're busy, and I know how easy it is to get distracted and maybe even to get a little frustrated because we're not really sure what kind of difference reading the Bible is making in our lives. And yet, there is nothing more important than regular engagement with Scripture to make us the kind of good soil that can receive God's Word and bear fruit. Then again, even if we're reading Scripture, how can we make sure that we understand what Scripture's trying to say? After all, the Bible was written in a culture that's very different from ours, and therefore it's not always completely clear how what God whispered then means for us right now. And while there's probably a lot that we could say on that topic, I think one important thing to emphasize is that the criterion by which the Bible is to be interpreted is Jesus Christ. If you want an accurate understanding of who God is and what He wants both for us and from us, well then the place to focus your attention is on the character and the teaching of Jesus. And in fact, the Baptist Faith and Message used to say that, and until Baptists in their wisdom decided that they probably ought to take it out. So go figure. Anyway, even if we read the Scripture, and even if we think we understand what it's trying to say, there's still the challenge of figuring out how does what it says convey God's whispers to me in this time, in this place, and in my life. You see, I think it's one thing to have a bunch of biblical principles floating around in our heads, and it's another thing to hear a personal word that whispers to our hearts what our Heavenly Father wants us to know and do and become right now. And so how are we supposed to hear that whisper? Well, you know, among other things, I think that one of the issues is the question, how do we approach Scripture? Sometimes, you see, I think we end up reading the Bible kind of for information. We want to know who and what and where and when. And while all that's important and actually essential in some ways, the goal of Bible knowledge isn't just Bible knowledge. We don't just read the Scripture for information. We read it for transformation. We try to approach it in a way that allows us to hear God's word for us in the particulars of our lives. Now, one way that we can do that is through an ancient practice that Christians called Lectio Divina, which technically means holy reading, although fancy names aside, it's really just a way to read attentively, to put our hearts in a position to hear the whispers of God. And I want you to know that there's a lot we could say about Lectio Divina, and more than we could possibly cover in a morning, but if you'd like to know a little bit more, drop me a note and we'll see if maybe we can't offer a little training session or something at some point. But for our purposes today, let me simply say that this way of engaging with God's Word involves five primary things. First of all, we select for our reading a relatively small portion of Scripture. Sometimes I worry that we think the point of reading the Bible is to get through as much of it as possible. And while there is value in reading through the Bible, as a lot of people do, the goal is not getting through the Bible. The goal is getting the Bible through us. And so if you want to read in an attentive way, pick a manageable chunk of the Bible, usually no more than a few paragraphs, and then once you've selected your reading and you've asked God to speak to you through His Word, read. But don't just rush through the Bible. Take a little time to abide in it. In fact, it's usually suggested that you read through your passage several times and at least once aloud. And as you do, don't be all that worried about historical backgrounds and the message of the passage. Just listen. Pay attention to see if there's a word or a phrase that kind of jumps out and feels important to you. And then meditate. Focus on that word or phrase and turn it over in your mind. How does it make you feel? And what does it tell you about God's character or His commands or about the things that are going on in your life? And how might this word or phrase be God's whisper to you? And as a message starts to take shape, pray. Respond to God on the basis of what you've heard. Praise Him for what He reveals about Himself or thank Him for the insights that He's giving you about your life. Confess the sins that He makes you aware of or pray for the people that He brings to your mind. And even if you're not sure that you've heard a particular message, just thank Him for the chance to spend a little time with Him, which actually leads to the final step of contemplate. Like we said last week, sometimes we really just need to be still and know that He is God. And when we contemplate, we don't have to say anything, and we don't even really need to hear anything. We just need to be with the Father who made us and loves us and who wants desperately to have a relationship with us. Now, I'll admit that you might look at that list and think that it looks a little time-consuming. But honestly, this doesn't have to take any more than 10 or 15 minutes, and I would suggest that if we were to read the Bible like this consistently, not only would we probably get a more personal word out of our engagement with the Scriptures, but what's more, we'd be better equipped to hear from God in some of the other ways that He whispers to us. Because God's voice doesn't only come through Scripture, it also comes through our desires. Now, does that surprise anybody just a little bit? Because I worry sometimes that we think of desire as a bad thing. If we want something, or if we think that we'd enjoy something, well, then chances are we're not supposed to have it. And while it's true that some of our desires can be sinful and need to be crucified with Christ, it is also true that when you take delight in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. The problem, as C.S. Lewis once put it, isn't that our desires are too strong, they're too weak. We're half-hearted creatures, he says, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. And so the more that we listen to God and the more that we're obedient to what he has to say, the more we discover that our desires are becoming his desires, which means that God can use our desires to whisper his messages to us. In addition, God whispers to us through our circumstances. Right near the end of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul mentions his desire to go and spend some time with his friends from Corinth. But, he says, stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work has opened to me. Now, unfortunately, Paul doesn't really tell us exactly what that door was. Maybe he got some extra financial support that made it possible for him to devote more time to sharing the gospel. Or maybe he found a new place to preach where a lot more people could hear him. But whatever was going on, there was something in Paul's circumstances that made him confident that the Lord was telling him what to do. And why wouldn't God speak to us in much the same way? Now, don't get me wrong. I am not trying to say that every circumstance is necessarily a whisper from God. Sometimes we find ourselves in a particular situation either because we did something stupid or somebody else did. However, if we really know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes, then we should anticipate that we're going to be able to hear God's whisper in some of those things through which he's working. Now next, God also whispers through other people. If you were here last week, you might remember that we studied a passage in which God wants to speak to Samuel. But Samuel was too young and inexperienced to realize that God was speaking to him, and so the Lord used Eli to get Samuel's attention. We are surrounded, the Bible tells us, by a great cloud of witnesses. And those witnesses include not only the saints who've gone before us, but also the saints who are with us. And God can use our friends and our teachers and sometimes, God help us, even our preachers to see things about our lives that we're too close to see. And that means that they can be in a unique position to communicate God's whispers of affirmation or encouragement or even challenge. In fact, sometimes God might even use people that we don't know to whisper his messages to us. My mother, for example, happens to watch our worship services on Facebook Live every Sunday morning. Now, she does it during the early service, so in that service I got to say, hi, Mom, but, you know, still, I don't think she's watching this service right now. And anyway, last week she was watching and she heard that we were talking about hearing God, and so she called me up and she told me that she once heard from God through the television financial guru, Susie Orman. Well, now at the time, my mom had been wrestling with some financial issues in her life. But as she was watching TV one afternoon, she heard Susie Orman say, "No matter who you are, you need to stop what you're doing right now and go and pay off your mortgage." Well, Mom says that it felt, at least, like God was kind of reaching through the television and speaking to her soul. And so the next day, she went to the bank and she kind of got the ball rolling so that she could take the little bit of money that she'd put aside to pay off her mortgage. And it just so happens that had she waited even 2 weeks to do that, the collapse of the market would have eliminated a lot of her savings and left her without the resources to afford a place to live. So is that just a coincidence? Well, maybe. I mean, let's be honest. But then again, maybe also a God who cares enough to use other people to whisper to his children the messages that they need to hear. There are other ways, I'm sure, that God whispers to us. If we had more time, we could talk about the way that God whispers through our conscience and through our dreams, and even through the pain that we experience, which actually is what we're going to focus on a little bit next Sunday. But for right now, I want to bring it all home by suggesting that everything we've just discussed, scripture and desire and circumstances and people, all of that is really just input for the ultimate way that God wants to whisper to us, which is through the still, small voice of his Holy Spirit. I was down at Speedway this past week, and I ended up standing in line at the cashier behind a woman who turned out to be in a bit of a bind. She had come to get a money order to pay for a fairly important bill, but before she came, she hadn't calculated the fees correctly, and so she was $3 short to be able to get the money order. And honestly, she was starting to get a little bit frantic and was starting to plead with the cashier to help her out, when I felt like I heard a whisper that said, "You really ought to just pay that." And so I told the lady that I hated to see her get upset, and I asked if it would be okay if I just gave her $5 to help her cover the cost of the thing, and that was it. She thanked me, and she got her money order, and she left. And I didn't try to make it into an evangelistic outreach or anything like that. I didn't say, "Jesus is giving you this money because he loves you," or, you know, some of the things preachers might say. But, you know, wouldn't it be just like God to put one of his children in a set of circumstances to be able to bless another one of his children by being obedient to a whisper that told him to do the kind of thing that the Bible tells us to do anyway? And honestly, one of the growing edges of my faith these days is in trying to be better about being attentive to these whispers or promptings of the Spirit. Because you know what? I do think that I get whispers like that. And here's the thing, I would be willing to bet that you do too. Now, they may or may not be whispers to help somebody that's in a bind. God might also whisper, "Slow down. Do you really think you need to be in this much of a hurry?" Or maybe God would whisper to you, "Don't worry. Haven't I brought you through worse than this before?" He might whisper, "You know that person that the preacher was talking about in church on Sunday? Why not send him a card?" Or maybe he'd whisper to your soul, "You know that discussion you were having with a friend or a spouse or a neighbor? Well, you know, why not go apologize and make things right?" And the challenge, of course, is that a lot of those whispers can seem so small and so insignificant and so much like just a passing thought that they're awfully easy to ignore. But the promise is that if we listen and if we obey, God just might use those whispers to encourage us, to guide us, to use us for his glory, and to bring us closer to himself. And isn't that really the point? To have a personal, growing, interactive relationship with the God who longs for us to hear from him so that he can speak to and work through us. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and wine. And after he'd given thanks, he gave them to his disciples, and very possibly, he whispered, "This is my body, and this is my blood, and it's for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So how might God need to whisper to you and to us as we gather at his table to remember and celebrate his life. Heavenly Father, you've promised that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you're here. And so we know that you're with us, and I hope we believe that you are desiring to speak to our hearts today. Lord, please grant that we'll hear, that we'll obey, and that we'll be eager to share with others the life that you poured out for us. Thank you for this sacrifice. Thank you for this reminder of all that you've done and this anticipation of the future that you have in store for us, because it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Jesus took bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body. Take and eat." Two things. First of all, I know that sometimes when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it's always a little bit tough because we get to the end, and I know I often find myself thinking, gosh, we're running kind of late. And we do run just a little bit late, but at the same time, I hope we know what a gift it is in a busy, crazy world like ours just to have a minute when we can sit and be still in God's presence. And I hope that we can receive it that way. And thing number two is, in our early service, we often celebrate the supper, same day, but we, instead of having the elements passed to everybody, we have everybody come down the aisles and get it from a couple of people that are standing here in the front. And that can be a little chaotic at times, but I'll say this, as I stand here and hand out the bread and the juice to people that are coming down the end of the aisle, it's kind of like seeing their faces and going, oh, I didn't even know that you were here today. I hadn't seen you there in the pew or whatever. And it occurs to me that part of what this meal is about is that that one day we're going to get to share an incredible feast with our Lord and Savior. And as we get ready to sit down and join him at the table, I suspect we're going to have people walk up to us and we're going to go, hey, you're here. It is so good to see your face. I don't know why every time I think about that, it just breaks my heart with the beauty of it. And I want you to know I'm looking forward to seeing your face. Thank you for being my church family. It means a lot. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is poured out for the forgiveness of sins, so that we can have life and have it to the full. Drink this in remembrance of him." And let's pray as we're dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you allow us these moments to be in your presence. And Lord, I hope that through the mixed up things that we say and sing and do here, that somehow it is your voice that rings clear to us. Father, thank you for every word that you've spoken. And we know that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish what you've set out for it to do. And so we praise you and we give you all the thanks and glory. And we go from here, eager to be your people. And now, may the grace of Christ our Savior and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen, and go in peace.